It's very difficult to make money in repairs.
Understanding why most roofing companies never break past $2 to $3 million in revenue.
Most roofers just say we don't offer repairs. They want to come out to the home and have a chance to sell them a new roof.
Opened up about mistakes he made to scaling to $20 million.
90% of contractors below even $2 or $3 million don't know their numbers.
What he learned from almost losing his business.
We were $20 million and didn't have a clue. It got us in trouble.
This is AI and Marketing for Home Service Pros. The show for contractors who want to grow without wasting time or money. If you're in roofing, HVAC, plumbing, or any home service business, we break down how AI and modern marketing can help you book more jobs, close more leads, and build a business that runs without babysitting every task.
My guest is Mike Fiesel, the CEO and founder of RoofMax, and one of the most experienced voices in the roofing industry. Mike has been in this business for more than 40 years, built one of the top residential roofing companies in the country, and then went on to create an entire new category in the industry, roof restoration, something that didn't even exist before he launched RoofMax. RoofMax now has 380 plus dealers nationwide, and what's fascinating is that Mike didn't just build another roofing company. He built a movement that gives homeowners a third option, not repair or replace, but restore, extending roof life at a fraction of the cost. But this episode isn't only about innovation. It's about what Mike is seeing right now in the industry, especially the massive disruption happening because of Google's AI's overviews, rising lead costs, and the shift from a click-driven world to a zero-click world. Mike breaks down why lead costs are spiking, how AI is changing consumer behavior, and why contractors who don't adapt will get left behind. He also shares what he's doing inside RoofMax to prepare for the future, including building AI agents for call centers, content creation, sales training, KPI tracking, and operational tasks that used to take hours. We also talk about the financial side of running a home service company, understanding cost per acquisition, gross margin, and why most roofing companies and home service companies never break past $2 to $3 million in revenue. Mike opens up about mistakes he made to scaling to $20 million, what he learned from almost losing his business, and why knowing your numbers is a real difference between success and stress. This conversation is packed with insight. One, why roof restoration is becoming its own category. Two, why the insurance landscape forced a shift away from storm chasing. How AI will reshape the back office, customer service, and estimating, why contractors must become students of the game to survive the next 5 years, and why the biggest danger in our industry isn't competition, it's running your company without data. If you're a contractor who wants to understand where the industry is going, how AI is changing everything, and how to build a business that can thrive in this new environment, this episode will give you clarity and direction. Let's jump in. Hi, everyone. This is Mauricio Cardinal. I'm with Mike Fiesel from RoofMax. Super excited to have him on. Really get into his story, his background, some of the changes that are happening with Google and AI overview. Just super excited to have you on. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you having me on, Mauricio.
Yeah, so Mike, you've been in the industry for 40 plus years. You built RoofMax into a national brand. You have over 380 plus dealers. For those who know who you are, your backstory, how do you first start seeing cracks into the traditional roofing industry, and what made you decide to build something different?
Yeah, I got in the business right out of high school. I started in the mid-80s, 85. My brother and I built a traditional roofing company from 88. I was 21 when I started. He came back to me and my partner a year later. We built that over 25 years to be one of the top roofing companies in the country, residential roofing company. During that time, a lot of things had changed. The amount of asphalt used in asphalt shingles has been reduced. Shingles are failing much quicker than they used to. Less asphalt just means they dry out quicker. It's like a road. You know, a road doesn't get a pothole until the oil dries out and that road can no longer contract and expand, which is exactly why a roof fails. So less oil means roofs are drying out quicker. 90% of roofing contractors today are replacement contractors. So they're not repair, maintenance, or service minded. They just want to always sell a new roof. And that has gotten worse over the years. And so we felt that there needed to be a solution, kind of a middle ground for the consumer. How do we help them get more life out of their roof? There was never a way to extend the life of an asphalt roof other than inspections and maintenance. So we came up with the concept. Actually, we found a product that had sat on the shelf, a patent had sat on the shelf for 17 years. Worked with the Soybean Council to develop kind of a business model, which is today RoofMax. We worked with the Ohio State University for testing, and you know that was all back in 2017, 2018. And since then, we've built it into kind of a new niche industry. with other competitors, which are great. And so now roof restoration is becoming a thing within the asphalt shingle or the steep slope roofing world. 85% of all steep slope roofs, churches, homes, right, have an asphalt shingle. And so now we've given just basically another option for consumers to get more life out of the roof, save money, keep their property protected.
Did you start this business after you had sold your previous roofing company? Did you want something new? Like how did that happen?
Yes. So we sold our roofing company. We had this concept before when we owned the company. What we didn't have was the final component, which is the treatment. Which is a bio-based oil that soaks, you spray it on the roof and it soaks down into the roof. It's not a coating like a paint that stays on top. It goes down in the shingle. And that bio oil replaces the lost petrochemical oil that makes a roof brittle. And when they're brittle, they blow off, they crack, they leak. So ours is like, think of it as a skin moisturizer for an asphalt shingle roof.
Yeah.
Simplest term.
Got it. That's very interesting. So were there other competitors already there in the market, or was it there's nothing there out there?
We created the industry. So the term, we coined it roof rejuvenation, or rejuvenating the shingles. But then restoration encompasses when we come out to a home or a apartment complex, you know, church, doesn't matter. We do an inspection, a detailed inspection. We're looking for the general maintenance items that need done on a roof, exposed nails that are backing through the shingles, caulking that's cracking and peeling away from different flashings. Flashings are what keep water out of the property. A chimney flashing, a skylight flashing as an example. So we come in and we do all of that to the roof. We do maintenance tune-up work. And then maybe clean the roof, maybe get rid of some moss on the roof, right? So there's other things we can do as part of kind of the larger restoration. And then we apply the rejuvenation treatment. So collectively, holistically, you've now restored that roof and brought it back to life.
Yeah. And if you think about it, guys, he's basically, you're solving the same problem, but in a different manner, right? In a different manner. So that's the thing that a lot of contractors I work with, they kind of sometimes don't understand, is that at the end of the day, you're solving a problem. And the problem is either, you know, repairing the roof, replacing the roof, or just kind of maintaining it. But at the end of the day, you're just kind of solving that problem where there's a problem with the roof. So that when you have that mindset, you just have to understand like that really colors your entire world, right? Your how people find you.
This allows them to get a roof. They're basically buying kind of a new roof, if you will. It's not a new roof, of course, but 5 years at a time in a five year time frame, versus buying a new roof that's going to be a 20-year roof. And it's going to be $20,000-$25,000. We're going to be $4,000-$6,000. So it's going to be about a quarter of the cost. But you get that same peace of mind that roof's going to last for five more years. At 5 years, we come out and we look at the roof again and say, maybe we can take it out another 5 years, or hey, it's time to replace your roof. So we're kind of the opposite of a replacement contractor, but we do replacements. You know, we've got a probably well over, I'm going to say 70% at this point, either do replacements themselves or they have a contractor that they partnered with. And the service and maintenance stuff, that contractor that doesn't want to do that refers it to the partner, to the RoofMax dealer, and then the replacements get handed over to the replacement partner. But our dealers are many of them are roofing contractors, and more today than ever before, because the roofing industry is starting to slowly adopt this new thing. I speak at the Roofing Process Conference on Thursday to a group of about 800 contractors.
I'll be there. I'll be at the conference. So I'll get to meet you.
I mentioned, that'll be great to meet
yeah,
you, Marty.
Yeah, for sure. So we can talk. And I think it's important because you actually talked about this before I guess the behavior is changing with the roofing industry because you're giving consumers more options. You're giving them more power. And I think a lot of them are kind of afraid of that, right? Is that the case?
Well, the problem was most of these contractors, what they don't realize, it's very difficult to make money in repairs. My old roof replacement company had a repair maintenance division. We didn't have a treatment, but we learned how to monetize that and make it profitable, but it's very difficult to do that. So most roofers just say, we don't offer repairs. They don't tell the customer that, right? They want to come out to the home and have a chance to sell them a new roof. And when you only offer one service in roofing, replacements, right? You're not focused on the customer at that point. You're focused on you and your company and the overhead. And I'm sympathetic to it. I get it. You know, I've been a roofer for in the business for 40 years. But now with restoration or rejuvenating the shingles and the full tune-up package, right, restoring a roof, now you can do what's in the customer's best interest while also making a lot of profit. For this to work for the consumer, and we all have to be consumer-centric, but it has to also work for the contractor. But if it's going to work for the contractor, it has to work for his sales reps, right? The sales rep is what really drives a business. And if that sales rep can't make a good commission, you know, you're going to make a $150 commission on a $600 or, you know, even a $1,000 repair. It's not very profitable. So the sales reps, right, they have to have a house payment, they have car payments, they have life. So this allows you to have a tool that's very profitable for the sales rep, very profitable for the company, very economically friendly for the consumer. Everybody's winning. And now you can go in and do what's right by the property owner. And again, everything, if you focus on the property owner, you win, right? Amazon has been great at that. You know, that's why they've done what they've done with that business model. They're hyper-focused on what works for the consumer, for their client. This allows a contractor to do that. When you offer this type of a service, when you become the company that doesn't replace roofs unless you really need one, you build trust in the marketplace and you end up selling more roofs. You also remove yourself from what I call the bloody ocean. Have you ever heard of Blue Ocean Strategies, the book?
Yes, sir.
Have you read it?
Yep.
Amazing book, right? So we want out of the bloody red ocean of competition where everybody's fighting for margin. You want to come over into a blue ocean where nobody's at, where the margin is at, and then you build trust. And now when you are selling a replacement, you're the replacement contractor. Our dealers that go out and tell customers that replace roofs that say, you don't need a new roof. They thought they needed one. We can do the Roof Max treatment. We can get you another 5, maybe 10 years. We have customers that tell them, you know what? I've got the money. I'm excited about this new style of roof, but you're my guy because you're the first one that told me I didn't need a new roof. At that point, price is not the issue. Now it's just a trust game. And in an industry that leads with lack of trust, like we're one of the top 5 complaint categories in the BBB nationwide. We have been since the day I got in this industry, and it's gotten worse. It has not gotten better. So this is an opportunity to change that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think with what you're saying, right, 5%, 70% of roofing demand, I don't know if you're aware of this, is roofing repair work. So what I mean by that is that if you look at Google search trends, the majority of the demand comes from repair work. So if you're not serving that need, then it's you're actually faulting the actual consumer.
So these guys that are buying those leads, whether they're getting them through Home Advisor, pay-per-click, right, pick your poison, all kinds of lead aggregators, they're still going out and trying to sell a new roof. They're using it as a lead to sell a new roof. A lot of friction for the customer. But when you go out for that repair lead and it's a plumbing boot stack that you're going to charge $700 to remove the shingles and replace the flashing and put more shingles back, and right, $1,000 repair is not that profitable, especially for a larger company. Production departments, crews, all of these costs, workman's comp is through the roof, literally with roofing. But when you can take that $1,000, $600 plumbing stack flashing and turn it into a tune-up and a treatment, right, you're getting $5,000, $6,000. And it's almost as profitable as a new roof. Because these contractors are operating after they pay for their marketing, their sales commission, and a job gets built. They're only turning 20% on a job, the average roofer. There are some that are turning 35% after those cost of goods sold. But the average roofer in America, which is a small roofing company, right, doing a couple $1 million, and they're only making 20%. You know, if they're selling it themselves, maybe they're getting 30% because they're the owner and the salesman, and they don't have a 10% or a 15% sales commission. Right. So, but on a Roof Max treatment, you're going to pull, after all of your costs of goods sold, you're going to be in there at about 70%, 60 to 70% margin, depends on how you sell it.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you also think about it, you're increasing the LTV of your roof repair. That's kind of the way.
And now you're coming back, you know, the average roofer can do an overhead safety club, which is an annual inspection club, like HVAC plumbing and electrical. They do those. You know, $19.95, $29 a month, whatever the number is. Now you're coming out every year and doing inspections, and you become the contractor of choice when you take that mindset. And the market is slowly shifting that way. And the biggest mover in the market is the fact that the insurance companies have shut down what we're going to call storm catching. Storm chasing is when you drive and you set up a location in a new market, which I've done many times over the years. And I was never a storm chaser, but there was, we augmented that as part of our business, but we always had our home location in Columbus, Ohio. But many of the contractors started to just run around chasing thunderstorms, looking for a missing shingle, right? Knocking on doors. And that became a new industry, the storm catcher industry. And it got to the point where one in three roofs were replaced by insurance. Insurance over the last few years has shut it down, as you're well aware. And so now you've got all of these storm guys, catchers or chasers. Chasers still chase. That's still a model that works. There's real damage there. A missing shingle is, you know, it's not really real damage. I know the insurance companies used to cover that, but now they're raising deductibles. They're raising, you know, they're going to more ACB instead of RCB policies, right? They've shut that piece down. So now you've got about one third too many roofers being forced over into the retail space. I talked to a buddy of mine. I was back home 3 weeks ago. We're watching a Ohio State football game. And he's in the roofing business. He said people are getting 7, 8, 9 quotes now. There's so many roofers chasing down the same business. And that is a race to the bottom. So because of that, we're seeing smart roofers go, okay, I need another option. And this is a way to build a rooftop relationship that is profitable and that is differentiates you greatly from any other contractor, and it builds more trust.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you talked about in our conversation, which was very interesting last time, about Google's AI's overview, right, and some of the changes that you've seen with that. What are the signs that you're seeing that contractors need to take seriously now, especially with Google's AI overview?
Yeah, so we started to see it last year, May, June, but we really saw the uptick in September when they kind of really released it, but not fully released it. So we've seen quite an uptick in the lead cost. And then as it went into this year, we even saw it go up even more than last year. And then since November, we've seen it even go up more. So what has happened is for regional and national companies, and even some large local companies, if there's enough search out there, the AI overview comes up on that company. And in the sake of RoofMax, Leaf Filter, Able Roofing, which was my main competitor in Columbus, Ohio, they're the largest roofing company, privately held company in the country. All of these companies, Renewal by Anderson, when it comes up, it says reviews are mixed. On Google, we have a 4.9 star rating on like 4,500 reviews. Across all of our review channels, we're at nearly 20,000 reviews, averaging 4.9 stars. So reviews are not mixed. Reviews are incredible. But you've got this AI overview, which is they try to be fair and balanced, but it's an anti-sales tool. It used to be people would search the name of your company, in our case, RoofMax, and they would come and they would either click on a pay-per-click ad or they would click on our organic website, which gave them all the information they needed. It's all backed by science. It's all true, right? They can click and see all of our reviews and scroll through all of them on Google. So we're 100% transparent, and we used to convert 10%. Well, the amount of search volume that we're driving, and you know, mind you, you know, close to $20 million in marketing this year, nationwide, across all of our dealerships. The same amount of search for the term RoofMax, branded searches are happening, but our lead costs have gone up substantially. And I believe this is part of the reason that Renovo had the challenges they had. Now that was a big private equity roll-up that you're aware of, went bankrupt, BlackRock backed. I'm sure there was all kinds of integration challenges and everything else, but you can get through that if you're holding your margin. And they're a pretty sophisticated roll-up, right? BlackRock's behind it. These are operators that know what they're doing. But when your CPL starts to go up, I mean, that's a hard one to battle, especially when you're in a commodity world, right? Where people are shopping you. People thinking about a new roof usually call two other contractors, you know, get three quotes. People have been trained on that. So, and I believe from what I understand and the people I spoke with at Google, eventually there'll be an AI overview on everybody. Everybody, doesn't matter how small you are. And they may be facing some of these challenges. But the marketing world is having a big challenge right now. The new term is zero click.
Zero click search, yep.
Or yeah, zero click, zero search. So yeah, their search is the AI overview. They get the information they want. They don't click on anything. They don't click on a pay-per-click ad. They don't click on an organic website. They've just decided to move on from you.
Yeah, it's a big change. And it's something that this year has been a big challenge running a digital marketing company with the changes with AI and SEO and all that. And I think what's basically becoming more important is exactly what you're saying. Reviews, having a good SEO, having a good website were king back then. And it was very easy to get leads. But it's changing where you have to be aware of the other platforms. Because before we just focused on Google, for example. Like for our clients, I would just focus 100% on Google, Google My Business, just the reviews there. But now if you get some bad reviews on Yelp, or some other platform, or some reviews on Indeed, Reddit, or some of those things, that can actually go into the actual AI overview, which can affect it.
Yeah, and the thing is, you can't give a Google review. If somebody puts up a bogus review, like a roofing contractor that doesn't like you, you can go fight that and get it taken down from Google. They have a method, a process. Reddit doesn't even know who you are. So if you don't like somebody, you can go start putting just a bunch of spam crap out there. And if you're doing enough of it, that's affecting that contractor who's really doing a great job. And how do they know who's doing it? Because they don't even know who the Reddit person is. And people believe what they read.
Yeah, that's I would say like kind of black hat SEO, black hat negative SEO, which is...
Yeah, it's not good. I think over time, they will solve this challenge. But the question is, over time, you know, if your marketing costs are going up, you know, the average roofer doesn't even run at 10% EBITDA profits. The average roofing contractor in the U.S., and I don't know the data now, but the old National Roofing Contractor Association, NRCA, 4.5% EBITDA. So, and I know plenty of roofers, 8, 7, 8, 9. I mean, I battled that myself in the early years of business, and we got it to the point where we were running at, you know, 13, 15%. But double-digit profitability is a hard thing to reach as a roofing contractor. You better run a tight ship and really know your numbers, especially if you're scaling. A guy that's doing a couple million dollars in business, he's selling it himself. He maybe has one other salesman or a technician, smaller business. Those guys can run at 30% because they're efficient. It's just that owner is taking those leads and turning them into a quality job. Doesn't have all the inefficiencies of a sales force, and you know, it's a smaller company. But once you get past, you know, $4 or $5 million, and you've got a business with an office and somebody answering the phones and an accountant and those things, right? It's very, very difficult when your marketing costs go up to the degree that they're going up. And you're seeing that from your clients. I'm sure you're hearing this all over the place.
How are you guys adjusting to this? You talked about it briefly last time, but what's your strategy to help overcome? Because this is a challenge, right? How would you overcome this? What's your strategy for this?
Volume of content, and video content will be the easiest content to put out, because in the conversation of an hour here, we're going to have, you know, 15,000, 20,000 words, and AI is reading the video now and using that as content, and AI is video first. The internet has become video first, as you know, but this isn't creating videos just for the consumer any longer, which is valuable. It's creating videos so that there's a lot of conversation content that AI can read and go, okay, AI says, hey, Mike was on Mauricio's podcast. It's a reputable podcast. It's been around for a while. Now it's going to absorb this content, and it's going to know that much more about Mike Fiesel, RoofMax, and our holistic view, worldview on the roofing industry. And I'm going to tell this story 10,000 different ways. And then I'll tell it another 10,000 different ways through conversations with many, many people, one-off conversation, just me, you know, making a video for the consumer, our dealers making videos on social media, posting them on YouTube, all of that, right? So, and then there's other strategies behind it as well.
Yeah, yeah. So he made a commitment, and I'm just curious, how big is that commitment in terms of, do you actually start hiring people internally just to like help with this challenge? How do you do that?
No, we have an outsourced company that does it, but we will also do it some in-house. So it's going to be a bit of both, but we have an agency that does that for us.
Got it. Got it. But you, you're going to be the main spokesperson, I'm assuming, right?
Well, yes. I mean, I'm going to be putting out content, but then our dealers will also be putting out content. So, right, there's going to be, you know, we need to have these conversations happening at scale, whether it be a RoofMax dealer or one of our RoofMax dealers who's also a roofing contractor. They need to put out content under their roofing company. So it doesn't, you know, if everything comes out under the term RoofMax, they see that as, they don't weigh that as heavily, right? They need to start hearing conversations across the roofing industry, talking about roof restoration and rejuvenating shingles and what that really means. So eventually AI comes, and when, you know, in a perfect world, somebody says, I'm looking for a roofing contractor near me, or a roofing contractor near me, and an overview pops up and it says, here are three different roofing contractors, right, that are close to you. AI is going to do hyperlocal, and it's going to serve you up the most credible people at hyperlocal. And that's what the map pack was and all of that. But now it's going to get way more intimate, and it's going to service, if you've got a great roofer that lives that the housing development next to you, right, it's going to serve you his information and two other companies. Right? I don't know what that future looks like, but they're trying to get hyper relevant, and they need, and if, for a contractor to succeed, they're going to have to be putting out a lot of content, because that's the only way to become hyper-relevant. And now that's through an AI, an SEO company or an AIO company, and all the different names that they're coming up with now. You know, I think that's part of it. But for a small contractor that's listening to this, that can't afford you or an agency, if it's a one-man band, then he's just a small company. He just needs to get out there with his, start talking. He's got all kinds of knowledge. Every time he comes to a rubber boot flashing where the gasket's dry rotted, he needs to talk about it for a minute or two, right? Explain what he's going to do and the simple solution for the customer. And what's, you have to look through the lens of what matters to your customer, not what matters to you as a roofer. And if you can look at the consumer first and how you help them in all things, then AI is going to understand that. And the consumer is going to understand it for those that see your video. And you're going to be perceived as a helpful contractor, and AI is going to say, this guy's good.
Yeah. Another way to look at it is just basically answering your customers' questions about your sales process, your products and services, everything. Just answering the questions. It's very basic.
And answer the same question 1,000 different ways. People think, well, I already talked about a plumbing vent. Well, yeah, but when you talk about that plumbing vent, you can talk about it 100 times and it's never going to be the same words. And when you get a video out there, only 50 people will see it. So every time on your roof, it's another 50 people that can see it, right? So you're constantly putting out this stream of content. And again, AI wants to see that you're consistently putting out content. I mean, GMB, the map packs, right? If you have a GMB page and you're posting new pictures and videos and putting content on there, Google will serve you to the top of the pack before the other ones that are never doing anything.
Yeah, that's number one. Like of all the lead sources, the map pack is still number one in terms of actual getting organic leads, even today. So I know with AI, it has changed a lot, but it's still the map pack number one for getting leads.
I think that we're going to go through a period of the next few years where there's massive landscape changes. I think marketing has changed forever, and it's going to change more and more. I still think brand is everything, but I also think not just brand is everything, training AI to know that your brand is everything. And the only way you're going to do that is for it to be valuable content to the consumer. No more contractor-centric, which is I'm trying to take repair leads and turn them into replacements. And again, I'm not judging it. I get it. I've got good friends that do not do repairs. And they know me. And I'm like, man, how in the world are you not offering restoration? But it just doesn't fit into their business model, or they don't believe it, whatever, that's fine. But that's where the roofing industry has gone. That's a problem. And AI ultimately will fix that. And it's going to fix it across many landscapes. Because although I'm not excited about it, it's causing struggles for our company and our dealers and many, many companies and all your clients. This isn't, again, everybody's dealing with it. But whoever makes it out of the other end of this and really understands how to utilize this new tool, they have a chance to dominate. Most will not. 95% of the people listening to this call won't do anything. And I know that. Yeah, probably 99. 69%.
Yeah. The stock, you actually mentioned this earlier, like CAC, right? Customer cost acquisition, right? You mentioned how it's changed, it's increased with AI overviews. How important is it to measure that? How do you measure that? Like, how do you measure that on a consistent basis? Like, how do you actually get to that number?
It's very simple. If I spend $1,000 in marketing and I get five leads, I'm $200 a lead. And if I sell one out of five leads, then my customer acquisition cost from a marketing perspective is $1,000. My marketing CAC is $1,000. If I sold it myself and I'm the dealer or I'm the contractor, I had no cost of acquisition from a sales perspective. But if I've got a salesman and I'm paying him, use 10%, right? On that $5,000 job, well, I had $1,000 in marketing CAC. I had $500 in sales commission. Now my CAC, my combined CAC, sales and marketing is $1,500 on that $5,000 deal. Now what's my material? What's my labor? And what's my gross margin? And you can't run a roofing business on the service side. You've got to have a 60% gross margin. Right, and then that's your labor and everything. You need a 60%. If there are bigger tickets like restoration, rejuvenation, or more $5,000 tickets, you can get away with 50% gross margin, even 45. But if you're running a repair maintenance division without the rejuvenation, right, you need to be 60, 70% gross margin.
Yeah, it's important to understand because that's really the number one metric I would say for home service companies is understanding those numbers. Because it kind of drives decisions. And you wouldn't believe today, like a lot of contractors do not know that. Actually, most of them do not know that number.
I'm going to tell you that 100%. So 90% of contractors, anything in home services, below even $2 or $3 million don't know their numbers. And I'm not knocking them again. I've been there. At one point, we were $20 million at that time, didn't know my numbers and got us in trouble. Got out of it, and from that point forward, I was religious about my numbers, and it changed my entire business. But I'd made it to $20 million in revenue back in the early 2000s, and didn't have a clue. Now, I mean, to put it in perspective, today that's a $40 to $50 million roofing company. Can you imagine a $50 million company? I mean, I knew my numbers, but I didn't know them on a weekly basis, KPIs. I mean, I wasn't running a really tight ship. You know, I review my P&L, sometime the next month. After that, we did weekly cash flow meetings, which I still do to this day with this new business. Weekly cash flow meetings, weekly KPIs, the KPIs that matter to run the company. We review the P&L by the 15th of the following month. Everything must be closed out. The accounting department knows. Right. And then, like you said, you make all your decisions based on the data. It's a lot easier to run a company when you know the data, but that's the problem with the smaller contractor. You know, and when you're a one man band, even a $3 million company, you're a five man band. Right. And you've got a sub crew. Most of them have a sub crew that's doing the work. You're just wearing all the hats and it's tough. So I get it.
Yeah. Did you learn that on your own? Just all that, because there's no training for that. There's actually no training for that. Did you learn that on your own?
There actually is. I co-founded Roofer Success International with Jim Abrams.
Okay.
Jim Abrams and I co-founded that back in 2004, stepped down in 2006. Stepped down in 2006 because I was having challenges with my own business. We went down to Florida and set up locations where we were based out of Columbus, Ohio. We went down to Florida to chase some hurricanes and just, you know, Katrina came and we had millions of dollars sold in Florida that we were locked in on. And at the time I didn't really understand the insurance game that well. And so we put ourselves in a corner and we had contractual agreements, not because we weren't allowed to go back and get the increase in material and the increase in labor. Labor went up, you know, 40, 50 bucks a square. Everybody was gonna head from Florida to New Orleans for Katrina. Material costs went up and it almost put our company out of business. Back in 2006. I stepped down from Roofer Success International, but we trained and we had hundreds of contractors in the roofing division. So Roofer Success International still exists. There's the certified contractor network, which I used to be part of before Roofer Success International, before I co-founded that with Jim Abrams. But Success Group International as a whole is HVAC, plumbing and electrical, and now roofing, which I formed with Jim. All of your private equity-backed HVAC plumbing and electrical companies operate under the philosophy. That's how Jim Abrams trained all of that. He consolidated the heating and cooling industry and did the first public roll-up company called Service Experts, which still exists today. And it's that philosophy that he uses. And you can learn that through whether it's Certified Contractor Group or Ripper Success International. The problem that I saw is everybody that became a member, again, very low. They were there as a brotherhood and a support network. They paid a bunch of money. And like the adoption rate, the implementation rate of everything was so 3%, 4%, 5% would actually implement. They might implement one thing or two things, but they didn't buy in and do everything.
Why do you think that's the case? Why do you think they didn't implement?
Contractors are very resistant to change. Like me, they're hard-headed. And it's very difficult. Most of them are in that $3 million, you know, the $3 million seems to be the glass ceiling. For a one-man band. Again, a one-man band can operate three people in his band, maybe a four-man band, right? But that smaller contractor has a hard time recruiting, hiring, training, and managing a sales force so they can get off the roof. Every time they do it, that guy goes out and screws up jobs, and they don't price them right, and they're like, screw it, I'll do it myself. And they hit that glass ceiling, they keep bumping on it. And so you are so inundated. When you're a small business person, you don't have SOPs, standard operating procedures. And so everything is a fire and everybody's coming to you all the time. Everybody's coming to you all the time, putting out the fires. You're a firefighter. And until you build a business, understand business and to, you know, how to manage and set up all of those things, you're just gonna bump your head, and that's a long life. You know, that $3 million contractor trying to pull down 150, 200 grand a year. He always has 100,000 on the street. He always owes 300,000 to ABC Roofing Supply or Bradco. It's just this nightmare of a machine. And I've been in that machine, so I get it. I mean,
hamster wheel. You describe it as a hamster wheel.
Yeah, everybody's been there, but staying on that hamster wheel is insanity.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's very valuable. It's information that you shared, because it's kind of paints a picture. I want to say that's generally speaking for all businesses. I think the ceiling for a lot, typically within that $2 to $5 million mark, even in basically every industry, right? I think it's like there's a ceiling behind that. Getting past the $5 million mark is kind of like the challenge for a lot of companies, right?
Well, I mean that's a second tier challenge. You know, most don't make it past the three, and then the handful that get past that. And I don't know exactly where all those glass ceilings are today. Things have changed. But, you know, right, there's different. And every time, even once you get past five, you're going to bump your head on 10. 10, you're going to bump your head on 15, 18. You know, a $20 million company is much different. You start getting into a $50, $100 million company, whole different game, a completely different game. You start to have, you know, once you start to get over 50 to 75 employees within a corporate structure, right? In the home services world, I don't know the rest of the world, but I certainly know home services. You know, that dynamic changes dramatically. When you start to not know all of your employees, that really changes layers of management there. That now it's not just your KPIs to run the company. Now every manager in every position needs KPIs. And there has to be structure to the company and organized meetings. And, you know, that's what all the big contractors have figured out. But the only way to figure it out is to go listen to other contractors. Be on these podcasts like yours. There's so much free information today that there wasn't before. And become part of some of these organizations and spend the money. But don't spend the money unless you're going to go commit. The amount of content that we put out for our dealers, and it's very frustrating for me. You know, like everything, we've got our top third, middle third, bottom third. And you know, 60%, 40% of our dealers generate 80% of our revenue.
So they're going to 40% generate 80%.
Generate 80% of our revenue. It's not the 80-20 rule, but you know, probably if you really broke it down, it might be 70-20, right? 20% of our dealers might churn 70%. I'm not sure, but I know 80% of our revenue is churned from 40% of our dealers. And the sad thing is we've got amazing dealers. And there's not many contractors I don't meet that I don't think are great people, but they've not become a student of business, right? They're just a technician. When I started, I was a technician. I didn't come from a business background. I didn't have any college. Yeah, you know, I started roofing out of high school, started my roofing company when I was 21, and just kept stubbing my toe over and over again, and read as much as I could, became part of organizations like contractors, certified contractors network back then, you know, and ultimately started Roof for Success International with Jim Abrams because I wanted to offer something that I thought was valuable to the industry back in 04. Today, you can do it through Dimitri Lipinski with Roofing Insights. You know, there's plenty of places that you can go. You know, Roof Coach, there's all kinds of different companies.
Yeah, there's more, way more, obviously.
And oh, man. Yeah. Access to information is not a problem today.
Exactly. That's very, very valuable, I think. All the things you're talking about is just basically just kind of understanding business. One of the books I read, I don't know if you've read this book, it's called Keith Cunningham's, what's it called? The name slips to my name. He had a quote. The quote is, business is intellectual sport. And I agree with that because it's intellectual. It's thinking. And there's no, you have to kind of learn from it and understand it and spend time actually thinking before you actually make decisions.
You have to be, most people don't do it because they don't like it. I did terrible in school. I was ADD as hell, pretty typical for a lot of business owners. But I loved the roofing business and the challenge of it. And year by year, you know, I was a mess for the first 5 years of our company and we grew fairly quick. My brother and I were aggressive with marketing and sales and all of that. But then we were kind of forced into hiring consultants and figuring this stuff out and reading books and kind of becoming a student of it. I can tell you that there's no possible way without 25 years of stubbing my toe and having my challenges, and everybody's had their back against the wall, you know, like wondering, am I going to survive this? And those are the best lessons. Learning to be positive while you're going through pain and being optimistic and not just folding and becoming a student of the game and getting away from all of the revenue. Revenue is for vanity. Profit is for sanity. You've heard many people say that. Getting away from the, oh, I did $1 million, I did $2 million. I don't give a shit what you did. I've done $20 million and lost money, right? So, but without all of those struggles, there's no way then I could have come in and done what we're doing with this, which, you know, collectively across our dealer network between RoofMax and replacements, you know, you're probably talking about $250 million. Now, I'm not managing each of those businesses. They are managing their businesses. And then we're helping, working with them to support them and boost them up and marketing and all the other stuff, all of the tech stack that goes behind it and all those things. So, and everybody shouldn't have a $10 million company. You know, my buddies who have a nice solid $2 million company that aren't trying to grow it, they've got it running smooth, which is only a handful that have it running smooth. Yeah, they turn their $250,000, $300,000 a year. They can go take 2 week vacations and the business doesn't burn up. They got a couple great employees, they pay well, they can run the business while they're gone. But usually the only way you break free from owning a business, because most people own a job. Most small business owners do not own a business. Most own a job. And a job is you can't leave for a couple weeks without the place burning down, other than just a few phone calls. Most of my buddies that I've gone on vacations with that have small businesses, they're on the phone a couple hours a day while they're on vacation putting out fires.
That's challenging.
That's challenging. It's challenging. And it grates on you over time. So I think you either stay really small, is always my suggestion to people. Stay really small, you and a guy or two, maybe a girl in the office, and just make profit, raise your prices, give great value, give great service, or try to break on through and become a $5 million company. You kind of have to be small, $5 million, $4 or $5 million, right? Or then you go on to the next level. There's these in-between scenarios, which are very, the overhead becomes bigger than the revenue, right? So you become overhead heavy. And so trying to find those sweet spots is tricky.
Yeah, definitely. You said when a marketing breaks, companies break. What does it look like in terms of the AI era? How to diversify your lead sources?
Well, I think you need pay-per-click. I think you need, most contractors are not running TV or radio or mass marketing or even billboards throughout a city and all of that. So for the average contractor, I think, you know, even direct mail is getting tougher. Lead costs are up 30% to 50% in direct mail right now from the vendors I'm talking to. I think you have to just continue to find your channels. I think knocking doors is an old school way of doing it. I built Fiesel Roofing in the early days. I would drive around and look for bad roofs, staining, curled shingles, And then I would look up those addresses in what was called a crisscross directory, and look up your address and say your name and your phone number. And then I would telemarket in the evenings and get my inspections and go sell roof replacements. And that's how I started. I was knocking doors, cleaning out gutters, and upselling repairs. So it depends on the size of the company, but most people will not, less than about 1% of the population will go knock doors. But I think that that is definitely knocking doors around the jobs. One of our dealers, there's two cousins, I'm sorry, Boise, Idaho. They sold $1.8 million this year at $600,000 profit, EBITDA, knocking doors. They're juniors in college. They're operating this business while they're in college, and they did $900,000 last year, $1.8 this year. Notice how predictable the revenue is. Door knocking is very predictable revenue. They'll do $3.6 next year, and I have no doubt they'll hit it at $1.2 EBITDA while they're getting their master's degrees.
Amazing. And that's more profitable than a lot of $10 million companies.
$6 million, $600,000 is more profitable than a profit. $600K is way more profitable than a lot of $10 million companies. Most $10 million companies are pulling down 5-6%. But if you're pulling down 6%, you didn't make $600,000 in profit. Because you've got 10 million in revenue, you're not running efficiency. You've got $500,000 on the street all the time because you're not having the crews bring back the money, or the salesman's not stopping by and getting the money at the end of the day. When you get in a cash crunch, you start telling the salesman, go out and collect this money because you need cash because Bradco's ready to shut you off. You know, been there and all that. And most guys are not running that tight of a ship.
Yeah. How do you think AI is going to affect the back office in the home services space in terms of customer service, operational costs? How do you think it's going to affect that?
Dramatically. So on the back end, like for example, we're building out an agent right now to answer the phones. And it's answering the phones right now, overflow, right? And we're starting to beat out humans. And once we are consistent and we're ready, we will then scale that and people will be able to press one to speak to a human, but I'll need two humans, not 20, right? I kind of look at that as back office. That's not accounting back office, as you think, right? But I look at anything that's not productive in the field as back office. It's office. Non-productive. To me, there's productive and there's revenue generators and there's non-revenue generators. That's how I see the world. So answering the phone is not a revenue generator. It's scheduling appointments for a sales rep that is a revenue generator. And the most important revenue generator are the technicians that are out there performing the work and making and bringing in that revenue. But if you don't have a great salesperson, then you can't generate revenue. So sales and marketing is everything, but then you have to have all of the back office. So AI will continue to be bigger on the back office side. We're gonna see it really rolling into 26 and beyond, but the wave is coming right now. The agents is not just AI, it's the agents.
So you have right now a call center that answers the phone, then overflow, AI picks up the phone. Is that how it works? How about after hours?
Same. And we are building out agents across different departments to do tasks, because agents today can do a task of, you know, multiple hours, and it's not a linear task. It can think its way through and get smarter. It might get hung up and you have to train it. Now it doesn't get hung up the next time, but it can think through complex tasks that you're doing all the time, right? As you're crunching your KPIs, as you're all of the things that you do every day that requires data analysis, but you have to pull it from here and put it into this spreadsheet. So you've got your KPIs. All of that can be done through agents in real time. So we are building out, we've invested heavy in AI. So we are completely rebuilding our tech stack, and everything is AI forward, agents, the whole nine yards.
Got it. So you mentioned call center agents, right? Customer, what are the agents, anything with like estimating or sending proposals, anything like that you're building out?
Not yet. That'll come. And that's going to be very prevalent in the roofing industry and anything exterior home services. we will be building onboarding agents. Right, we have agents where you can role play with now. Our training partner has built agents where you can actually sit there like in a ChatGPT environment and role play with that customer. And you say this and it comes back and says, well, you should have said this. So AI role playing, so all of that stuff. Onboarding of new dealers, I wanna have when you call 800-ROOFMAX at some point where you can call our agent and have a conversation with him or her on anything about roofing and exteriors for the customer. I believe in the future you will be able to say, hey, I'd like a, you know, would you like a quote? I can give you one and I can email it to you right away. Give me your address. Boom. Roofl. You're familiar with Roofl. Yep. Put it in. Boom. And now they get a good, better, best quote. So I believe that that is going to be the future. I think in the meantime, until those things are tested, the best way to do it is to show up to the customer's home. But in the future, I think it's going to be instant quoting. I think, it, you know, if you go out 5 years, hell, I don't know. I think people will maybe having a conversation with their ChatGPT agent or their Siri and say, I need a roofer. Go find me a roofer. And then they come back and they say, here's your three quotes and here's the one that looks better and all that stuff. And you have a conversation with it. And, you know, we both determined, me and my partner, AI, have determined that it's going to be this company. And it'll reach out to that company and get them paid. It has your credit card and everything. That's a world we're moving into. That's 5 years away or 10 years away, but that world is coming.
Especially with the new browser from ChatGPT Atlas, it's actually working exactly how you're saying it's going to work. I think it's still going to take time for that to adapt, because what I've seen, generally speaking, is that even though you said yourself when we talked about it, you use ChatGPT yourself every day, even more than Google now. I use it myself every day as well. Majority of people are still not using it the way we use it, right? They use it still like more like for questions and answers, but they don't really kind of, it's like that adoption yet. It's still behind. We're still like new on that. And I think it's going to take some time for that, the relatively people start using it.
For the masses, creative people that are growing their business, understand that that's your partner. Everybody in our company is using it. And we require it. You have to use it. You have to interface with it. And we're leaning into it even more and more. I tell people in the company, and it's true, there's going to be two kinds of employees, those who are unemployed and those who know how to utilize AI and make them way more efficient. And I'm not talking about a roof max, and it's not a threat. I'm just telling you that's the reality of the future. And you're already seeing big corporations are not hiring college kids. I don't know what the number was. I think 31% or something like that this year actually got a job in their chosen field. Corporations aren't hiring these college kids. They're building out layers and layers of entry-level AI agents to do that monkey work, taking and pasting information from this spreadsheet to this spreadsheet and all the stuff that AI can do so brilliantly for next to nothing and efficiently, and they don't make mistakes.
Exactly. Why did RoofMax succeed where others failed? Like, it's a new industry. What is your number one key you think that got you to 380 dealers plus dealers?
Not being afraid of a 100-hour work week for years on end, massive commitment. I'm a big believer in fail forward fast. So you have an idea and you're not thinking about it a month later. Most people have an idea. Most people never implement or execute ideas. And if they do, they half-ass it. They're not committed to it. A lot of people don't want to implement things because they feel like failure is a negative thing. I believe failure is positive because that's how you get to success. You have to fail. You fail forward fast. You don't keep doing the same thing for months on end. You do it for a week. If the data works, do more of it. If it doesn't work, pivot. Maybe completely get rid of the concept and go on to something different, right? What I mean is a concept within your roofing company. Could be just the overhead safety club or whatever you're doing. So, but you have to experiment, be willing to fail, move quick, and continue to let your business model come together. Everybody tries to build something in a box, right? I think you have to build the business and let that model come together. And yes, there are parameters that you keep it within. But we didn't know what the roof rejuvenation industry, we called it roof rejuvenation for years. It's now roof restoration. We got roof rejuvenation wrong because customers didn't understand it. They were searching the term roof restoration. But what we found out was the AI search engines and a lot of roofing contractors didn't realize that we came in and did a tune-up and did maintenance to the roof before we applied the treatment. So then I'm like, well, wait a second. We're rejuvenating shingles. We're not rejuvenating the roof. We're rejuvenating shingles. We're restoring the roof by doing a tune-up, cleaning it, whatever else needs done, replacing missing shingles. So the entire process is called roof restoration. We have rebranded this company. We are no longer RoofMax. We are RoofMax Roof Restoration. We're the nation's number one roof maintenance company by far. residentially.
Yeah, I've actually studied you guys. One of the things that I noticed in the big, like years ago, was that you were heavy. I'm sure you guys are doing heavy Meta advertising, and you were talking specifically about roof regeneration. And I think the reason why is because the people don't know what that was, right? Was that the core strategy behind that?
We were trying to educate people on what it was. Restoration, when you search roof restoration, that is an industry that is already mature and in the commercial roofing side. So when I started in the roofing industry back in the 80s, commercial roofing contractors, they didn't have top coat from GAF. They didn't have GE silicones. People installed new roofs. When they leaked, they would repair them. And when they wore out, they replaced them. Today, all the commercial roofing companies have inspection and annual inspection and maintenance programs, preventative maintenance programs, of course, repairs. They'll restore the roof before they replace it and get you another 10 years. And then they replace the entire roof system and start from scratch. So that is roof restoration in a roofer's mind. And I understood that. And I thought, how do I differentiate? Well, let's be rejuvenation. But then we did that for a few years and I realized I had it wrong. Remember, I said you got to pivot when you realize you're wrong. And doing a lot of research, we realized that we weren't communicating effectively our messaging. And so the company name, we did a whole rebrand anyway. We've got new company colors and everything, new logo, new design.
That is so interesting. That is interesting because you're changing what basically people are searching for, and they're adapting to that restoration. So you succeeded where something that's very difficult because it's not a mature market. So it's very, it's a new industry, right? So you kind of created the path. And other competitors have come in, right? Since that time, and I've kind of done well in that time as well, I'm assuming.
Yeah, actually at the Roofing Process Conference, I invited Go Nano to speak with me, even though they're a competitor. I'm not at the Roofing Process Conference trying to sell RoofMax. To be honest, a lot of the dealers I don't want anyway. As we've grown the model, we're a lot more particular about who we're allowing in. But I want to educate the roofing contractors on the fact that they need to, you know, in a decade, I'm hoping that 90% of the roofing companies, or at least the third that matter, private equity's in this space, they're rolling up the roofing industry. They're looking for a better model. A lot of those private equity firms bought a bad model. They bought a storming model thinking it was retail, and they bought a storm catcher. And many of them are getting caught because the margins are fat, or were fat in insurance, right? And they're not as fat in retail. And so private equity will, this restoration will become part of private equity.
What's your opinion on private equity and entering the home services space?
I think it's great. I don't think all private equity companies are great. I think the nature of private equity, as good as many of them are, as you get higher up the food chain, you've got more sophisticated organizations that have a longer time horizon. But when you're down the food chain, where most of the private equity is buying up these small, you know, $5, $10, $15 million companies, which are nice businesses, but that's not a big private equity roll-up. Right, so they're buying up these smaller companies. They're going to squeeze that and try to get efficiencies to get profits up. And that's a difficult thing to do in a small to medium-sized company. So it's going to change your culture. I have buddies who have sold to private equity, mostly not great outcomes. Some have been wonderful outcomes. And I don't mean just in the roofing space. I'm talking about macro across the board. You know, even outside of home services, you know, I have a number of friends who have sold to private equity. And again, some with really great experience and others with not such great experience. So it depends on the PE firm that you're working with. But like, that's all things, right? That's all.
Yeah, 100%. One last piece of advice. What do you think contractors, in the age of AI, what's the number one thing that contractors should look for in terms of adapting to this new world?
I just think that you have to start by using ChatGPT and let it train you and have conversations with it. I'm not talking about the typing ChatGPT. I don't even like to type. ChatGPT, the $20 version or Claude or whatever you get, you just click the button and start having a conversation with it. Ask it how to use it. How do I leverage you better? It's, you know, you've basically got an Einstein in your hand. I mean, these things are, it's a polymath at this point, right? It's an expert at everything. It's like Leonardo da Vinci. I mean, these things are brilliant. They're passing all of the tests. It's already passed the Turing test. It's passing all the, you know, basically graduate school, college, master's degree level in all of the disciplines. I think there's whatever, the 6 or 7 disciplines that it's already passing all those things, doing better than students. So, and it will continue to get smarter. It already has memory. I've named mine. He knows who he is. I can ask him about things in the past. Remember, we were talking about this one thing. Yep. So I want you to implement that entire concept into this brochure. It prints out a brochure for me. Then I do some modifications to it. It's enough. I get over to my graphics design person. They make it pretty. You know, that used to take me forever to do those type things. So my productivity is much higher.
Amazing. Amazing.
Which I think you're doing the same thing.
Probably. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. It's basically, it's a thinking tool that I used to think, used to plan.
Only as strong as you use it.
Exactly, exactly. Where do people find you?
They can go to my LinkedIn page. I don't respond to a lot on LinkedIn, though, if they're trying to get a hold of me. You know, if they've got a question, you know, I'm happy to talk to roofing contractors that are having challenges. You know, I'll usually have a 15-20 minute conversation and just give my opinion on a really heavy situation. I don't have time to just sit down and talk to roofing contractors about life. But they can email me at mfiesel@roofmax2xs.com. Primarily if somebody's in a struggling situation, and if I can give some of my input, right, I'll tell them how I've been through some of those situations, and I'm happy to do that in a 15-20 minute conversation. And I have contractors that I've known over the years that reach out when they're in a situation. And of course, I'm coaching my dealers all the time when they're struggling.
Awesome. Mike, thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to AI and Marketing for Home Service Pros. If you got value from today's episode, do us a favor. Follow the show, share it with a contractor friend, and leave a quick review. Want help using AI or smarter marketing to grow your business? Head to contractormarketingpros.net and book your free strategy call.